Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing our study today on doctrine in the New Testament, focusing specifically on Jesus in doctrine, or the doctrine of Jesus, if you will. We're looking at Matthew, and we're focusing on Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And Lord willing, we will continue to move through Matthew and then move on to taking a look at Jesus and doctrine in Mark, Luke, and John as well. So as we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, I'm going to read from the King James Version, and then we will continue from there. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So what these two verses focus on or highlight is the response of the people to Jesus' instruction, that is, Jesus' doctrine, his teaching. And not just his teaching or his instruction, that is to say, what he taught and how he taught, but the authority with which he taught. And this is what really astonished the people. So Jesus' teaching was like no other. Now, that is to be expected because he is God. But if we consider this just as it relates to the people's response to Jesus' instruction, then we also need to understand then that as Jesus taught, he taught with authority, but it's so important to understand that he taught with authority because he taught truth. He taught the instruction according to its truth. And that is what makes the difference. And so when we consider the difference in how Jesus taught, what he taught, that is his instruction and the authority with which he taught, we also see that his teaching and his authority is different than the scribes. And that would be those who copied, interpreted, and taught the law. So this is where we see this difference in Jesus' instruction as well as the authority with which he instructed. So there's something to be said about this, because we can also translate this or understand this in light of the preaching and teaching of our day and of our time. So when we consider Jesus' instruction and the authority with which he taught, we should also ask ourselves where we fall in terms of the truth of God's word. So, you know, the authority as it relates to God's word and communicating God's word should be no different in our time. And I'm focusing specifically on how we respond and how it is taught. And maybe I should put that in the proper order. That is, how the word of God is taught and how we respond to the teaching of God's word. Now, Jesus' authority obviously is unique because he is God. He is God revealed in the flesh. So his authority is unlike any other. And that is, he is God, and therefore his authority is according to who he is, his infinite power, his infinite wisdom, his infinite knowledge. So this is to be understood as we consider not just these verses, but as we consider the text, as we're going to do, that precedes the last two verses. But it's also important for us to understand this as it relates to our responsibility in teaching, the instruction that we communicate. And I think if I were to really, really give my thought on how we instruct or how we teach and what we teach, I would say that the only thing that that we seem to be fully persuaded of, or the only thing that we seem to teach with any degree of certainty and authority, is that which seems to benefit us without intruding or disturbing our comfort zone, as it were, in relation to the way that we live. So what I mean by that is, man, we seem to preach money and heaven and healing and every benefit for us without dealing with what God requires of us. And that is to say, we just want everything coming our way without any responsibility. And that's not the doctrine that Jesus taught. That's not the instruction that Jesus taught. And when we consider the authority with which he taught, then we have to understand that it's not just the authority, but again, it is the truth. It is the soundness of his teaching. It is not just how he taught, it's what he taught. So the instruction is just as important as the authority. And it is a contrast to the way that the scribes taught, and the people knew that. They recognized that because Jesus taught clearly, and he taught, and as we're going to see, he taught with faithfulness and certainty as it related to what the Father told him to communicate. And this, again, is where we seem to encounter this fog in modern day preaching and teaching. And that is, we don't seem to be certain about anything when it comes to controversial issues. That's just another way of saying the truth according to God's word. But we seem really, really sure when it comes to money and heaven and all the things that just benefit us. And again, don't interrupt or disrupt our lives and hold us accountable and call us to live for God. I guess that's the bottom line. The bottom line up front is, how receptive are we to the doctrine that's communicated by our Lord that calls us to live for him? So when we consider the scribes, these are those who copied, interpreted, and taught God's law. But what happened is they didn't teach it according to its truth. It got foggy. And then they didn't teach it with the authority as Jesus did. And again, we understand that Jesus' authority is absolutely unique to Jesus. But then Jesus empowers or extends his authority in terms of the gifts that he gives and the responsibilities that he gives to those who he calls to represent him and his teaching, his doctrine or instruction for his church or for his people. So we have to understand this as it relates to not just Jesus's doctrine and authority, but those who he also calls or gifts to teach according to the truth, and that is sound doctrine, according to the same instruction that Jesus communicates. So we can understand this perhaps more clearly when we consider what Jesus had communicated, for example, in Matthew 28. When we consider Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, when Jesus says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that is authority, that's the same word that's used here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, that's the same word that's communicated as authority, is communicated as power here in Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations. Now, what are you going to teach them? Let's see what he has to say. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's where he clarifies. In verse 20, Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So again, the teaching that we communicate as those who are called and gifted as pastors, preachers, and teachers, then we are called to stay in line or under the authority of Jesus and his doctrine. You know, we don't get to veer off and establish our own, which obviously has happened. That's why we tend to resemble more a bag of mixed nuts than one church, you know, under one Lord, one faith, and one baptism with one hope. Diversity is not always a good thing, particularly as it relates to Christianity and doctrine. Diversity in terms of how we look is a beautiful thing. But diversity in terms of what we believe and what we follow, well, no, I would say that is frowned upon from on high. So it's important for us to understand that when we consider Jesus and his doctrine, that we are not to communicate doctrine or teach instruction that is contrary to the doctrine or the soundness of what Jesus himself taught. So as we back up and again, having looked at this difference in Jesus and his teaching or his instruction, how he taught, the authority with which he taught with, and how he didn't teach and he demonstrated authority that the scribes did not demonstrate, then again, we see this great difference in the way that man approaches things and the way that God approaches things. And that is to say, if man is not following God or subjecting himself to God's authority and representing God according to who God is, and that is God's truth and what God says, and communicating what God says according to its truth, then we are falling short. And this again highlights the difference in Jesus and his doctrine and those who were teaching and interpreting and copying the law during this time in Jesus's ministry. So we'll also find, as it relates to the scribes, that there was more information, or we will find that they are mentioned in various places in Scripture. And you will find the scribes referenced in Matthew chapter 23, for example. And again, if you consider the scribes in the Old and New Testament, in the Old Testament, Ezra, for example, was a scribe. And the responsibilities of the scribes sort of evolved. They went from sort of being counters or recorders in the king's court to being those who were more involved in the copying and interpretation and the teaching of the law. And that's what we find when we look at Ezra again, for example. And as we see what transpired as we move to the New Testament, then you find that everything just seems to be convoluted. And Jesus spoke to it on multiple occasions as it relates to those who were involved in teaching the people. And it's really fascinating, to say the least. But this does not mean that every scribe was bad. But it does mean that overall, they had taken the people off course from the truth of God's word. Does that sound familiar in 2021? That those who consider themselves responsible for copying and interpreting and teaching or instructing the people concerning God's word, they were actually taking the people off course from the truth of God's word. And Jesus came and he taught in a way that brought the people back to God. And that's what we need as it relates to doctrine, as it relates to instruction, is, you know, our intent should always be to direct the people to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the authority of God. It shouldn't be to establish fan clubs from the pulpit That is to focus people on us, to focus people on the pastors, and to make the person who is the authority in the church, over the church, the pastor himself, or the teachers and the preachers, and not realize that the chief shepherd and the great shepherd of the sheep is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is subject to Jesus and his authority, and those who are under Christ all have a role, and specifically as it relates to those who teach or those who instruct, and even more specifically from the pulpit, our intent must never be to gather a following wherein people see us as the authority rather than having authority under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that validated? It's validated in how it's demonstrated in our lives and how we teach, the soundness of our instruction. In other words, it's just as important for the church to understand the truth of God's word and to follow and pursue it as it is those who instruct and teach, okay, which is the same, okay, those who give instruction, those who teach the truth of God's word. It's important for those who are on the receiving end to realize the importance of understanding. And if you don't, then you are subjecting yourself to whatever this preacher or teacher says. And if you're not looking at it in light of what Jesus says or who Jesus is, then you're doing nothing but following a cult that's being established under the authority of a man. And I don't mean a godly man. So it's so important for people to understand this, and more specifically for God's people to understand this, how important it is to not just have a heart for the word of God, but to recognize sound instruction and to receive the word of God according to its truth, and not to manufacture or to fall under this teaching, and particularly of our day, that leads us to believe that everybody has the approval of God to interpret the Bible however they want and to live lives that are contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ, and to call that Christianity because that seems to be where we are. So Jesus says in Matthew 23 in relation to the scribes, and we're relating this to what is communicated in Matthew chapter 7, specifically in verse 29, where it says, again, that Jesus's teaching was the way that Jesus taught. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus gives rebukes in Matthew chapter 23 as it relates to the scribes. Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Okay, this is the instruction. This is the, if you will, the seat of authority concerning the law. And he says, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe." Okay, sounds good so far. "That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." See, we have a problem already. That is the hypocrisy. And what else does it communicate? What else does Jesus communicate concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders? But we're highlighting the scribes because the scribes could be a subgroup within the religious group, okay, within the Pharisees or the Sadducees, if you will. Okay, so in verse 4, it says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men." Oh my goodness, doesn't that sound familiar? "They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments. Okay, and this is the religious apparel. Okay, this sets, so to speak, sets them apart, so to speak. Okay, but all their works. Okay, I'm sorry. And then we go on to verse 6. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. See, we're getting into these titles and we're getting into the difference in how, again, not just Jesus and his teaching, but Jesus and his authority, which is really even more specifically Jesus and his example. So his example as a teacher, you know, his example as a servant of God. And this is so important for us to understand. Look at the difference in the scribes and Jesus. Look at the difference in the religious leaders and Jesus. And these are Jesus's own words. So in Matthew chapter 7 and 29, we see the response of the people because Jesus demonstrates what sound teaching is. And he demonstrates the authority that he carries in relation to his instruction because it's true. So, you know, I hate to put it this way, but it's true. You know, Jesus has the utmost confidence and his instruction, of course, because he is God. He knows what he's saying is true. But when we look at the religious leaders and we look at the scribes, and again, looking at this contrast between Jesus and his instruction and the scribes or the religious leaders and their instruction, then we see again that not just the hypocrisy, but this desire to be seen of men and to present themselves as being above everyone else. And again, they like the titles. They like to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, what does this communicate, or how does this, what does this have in common with our time? Well, of course, we love our titles, Reverend, Reverend. Everybody's a Reverend. And it literally gets me sick. And it's not biblical. But that being said, we love our titles, doctor, and so on and so forth. And some insist that you call them by that title. And I find it interesting that, you know, as we move throughout the New Testament, people were called by their names. So it's really sad. It's a very sad state. But, you know, God bless the religious leaders and their titles. But in verse 8, Matthew chapter 23, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. See? And that's the greatest compliment that we can have. Now, of course, we understand that there's the office of pastor or the office of bishop, but that's not your name. You know, and that's just something that if it needs to be clear in terms of who you are and what your role is within the body, it's understood. You are a pastor. You are a bishop. You are an elder. That's understood. You are, for example, if you're a deacon. And even then, you don't necessarily have to highlight or flaunt the title. Demonstrate your service in serving. Okay? And the same thing for those who oversee the flock of God and the house of God. Demonstrate your office or your role in the soundness of your instruction. But again, as we continue on, being a brother or being brethren is most important. And then he says in verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Uh-oh, there's a whole faith group that refers to leaders as father, which again, that should be concerning. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Okay, so Jesus sets this stage. And if you're following, this is what we're referring to. We're referring to Matthew 23 as it relates to what is communicated in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And the emphasis here being on the scribes mentioned in verse 29 and the difference in Jesus's teaching and authority and that of the scribes. So this is why we're highlighting what Jesus communicates here in Matthew chapter 23. Now, listen to what he's talking. He's talking about exaltation and humility. He's talking about titles and what we're called and the way that we view ourselves. He's talking about hypocrisy. He's talking about the dressing up and trying to present ourselves to be seen of people. Okay, all of these things is what he's talking about, and he's talking about them in an unflattering way, if you will. And then when we move down to verse 13, move on to verse 13, this is what he says: "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." He goes on, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," in verse 15, "hypocrites." You see what is happening here? "For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself." This is the following that I'm talking about. This is what Jesus is referring to. You get these people to follow you. You get them to follow your doctrine. You get them to follow your teaching, and it's not in line with the doctrine of God. It's not in line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. This is the difference between heaven and hell. This is the difference between life and death. This is what Jesus is saying. You make proselytes, but the proselytes or the converts, that's what this is communicating, you're converting them to your doctrine. You're not converting them according to truth. You're not converting them according to the instruction that comes from God, heaven's instruction. So this is what Jesus is speaking of. And he says, "Woe unto you," in verse 16, "ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple." And he goes on to speak of this in terms of the way that they work things and maneuver and establish doctrine that benefits them. Does that sound familiar? This doctrine that benefits the religious hypocrites? That's what's different in Jesus's instruction. That's what's different in his authority. And all who are under his authority will teach accordingly. Their teaching will be in line with what Jesus teaches. And their teaching will be subject to the authority of Jesus, which is the truth. And this is what we have to understand separates sound doctrine from just doctrine, from somebody else's doctrine, from corrupt doctrine, from false teaching, as the scriptures communicate. And those who fool people, he says, Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 23, verse 17, "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" Again, I'm just looking at the words that he uses here. And he talks about swearing by the altar in verse 18. And he goes on to speak again of the way that they are manipulating the word of God and instructing people to do things that are contrary. But Jesus says, what they tell you to observe, observe, but don't be the hypocrites that they are, and don't present yourselves in the way that they present themselves. Follow the law according to truth. And even then, what we're going to find, and we're going to, Lord willing, we'll pick up again the next time. But even then, what we're going to find is Jesus provides even more clarity concerning the difference in his doctrine and that of the scribes. So that's what we're highlighting right now. And then we'll take a look at what Jesus says, what he actually teaches in Matthew chapters 5-7. So until the next time, remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.